Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad to see you. It's a beautiful day and a wonderful time for God's people to come together and just to praise Him and honor Him. And it's so good to see you who are so interested in your life and the things that are happening in your life that you come back to give God, to praise God for His goodness and to seek Him in your life this coming week. We pray, Heavenly, that the Heavenly Father will take our thanksgiving with our songs, our prayers, and just being here, that God will take it as we really are grateful, dear Heavenly Father, for what you do for us. And then also we want to seek God and the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives this coming week, that He will help us and guide us into the things that He has to do that will be good for you and proper things to do. So we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a couple of verses here from Psalms 12. It reads like this: Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail, for among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering, and with a double heart they do speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who hath said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the signing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him and that puffeth him. The words of the Lord are pure words, are silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from the generation and that generation. The wicked walk on every side, where the vilest men are exalted. And I'm glad that God exalts you into good things, and we praise Him for that.
For hymn of worship this morning, using numbers 1 to 87, sing the, we're just going to be singing the first verse this morning, all of our songs, no piano.
Why?
That's what we got on there. Get over quicker. First verse of 187.
Here's a sin and vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to come to your house and study and hear your word. We thank you for your written word. We pray that we might know your will and abide by it. We know whatever we have comes from you. You're the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And you give us everything. You give us grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness. And we come now and ask for that forgiveness when we fall short. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. For our communion hymn, we're going to use your number 215. 215. Sing the first verse.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
I'll be reading Mark 14, 22. And as they did eat, Jesus broke bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which I shed for men. Verily I say unto you, I will not drink no more of the fruit of thy eye until the day that I drink it in you in your kingdom of God.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come together at this time and participate in the gathering around the Lord's table. We're so thankful that the Lord Jesus instituted this for us. He saw the necessity of it. He knew, Heavenly Father, the busyness of the world, and he knew that we could get tied up within the world and entangled in things and be forgetful. But we never want to forget what you done there at Calvary for us, dear God. And through your Son, you give us eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and giving us life in this life. So as we partake of these emblems, help us to be thankful. Help us to be reminded of the great price paid at Calvary for our salvation. Help us to remember the wonderful love that Christ had to lay down his life for us. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity you granted us today to gather in your house, sing songs of praise and hear that word proclaimed, and be with each individual that put their offering in the plate this morning. Bless forth the gift and the giver of these words we ask in thy name.
And again, it's so good to see you folks in the Lord's house, and we're so glad that you're here. It's a blessing to us. You get encouragement to us, and I hope that you're encouraged by being here today in our worship service with the good people here at Porter. Maxine, as you notice, is not with me this morning, and she has been sick for the last couple of days, and hopefully that she'll be well soon. And I was hoping this morning that she'd be much better and be able to be with us. So I'm only half here today, and my better half is not here, so we'll probably just have things halfway. But so tonight, the folks has told me to go home and be with my wife, and so there would not be a Bible study this evening then. We appreciate, thank you folks for that, and we're always willing and love, we like to get together as often as can to study from God's Word, and we have a good time together and fellowship and the Word and be more knowledgeable of what God has for us to do. So we thank you for that. I want to encourage you also, those folks that are working on different projects for the centennial, to continue to do that. If you are needing some help, please ask us and we'll try some way or another to help you. I don't know until I look at my sheet who's working on everything else. There's pictures, there's other different things. There's advertisement going on, so we want to know probably in the next week or so. We've got to get together and see how things is going and get that pretty well on track. I've notified several ministers and so forth. We had two guys that are going to be on vacation because of spring break, and they're going to take their families. So two of those guys can't be with us already, but we've got some response back for some. And so we hope that we'll get that all together pretty soon and all work out, and we'll just have a wonderful time come time that we have our centennial week. We have a birthday here coming up. It's Virgil the 17th, and we missed Norma Jean's last week, and it was in the Boltons, but I understand they had a great, yeah, I'm sorry, hon, I really am. I just got in other things and didn't look down there, and I really hate that. But we understand you had a real good time Friday night. You had a big party, and that's why brother and his wife are here today with you. And that's great. And so we're glad that you had a good time and so forth. And we just hope that you'll have many more of those. And so we're glad to have you people visiting with us. We're so glad that when you're up here, you come and be with us. We're thankful that I have a grandson over here in the back corner over here. And Doodle, you slap him on the back if he goes to sleep, if you will. Oh, yeah, he's a pretty good guy. All right. And so it's just good to see all of you here, and we're glad. So happy birthday to you, Virgil, this coming week. And as we look at our prayer list, then we have still a great number of people on our prayer list. We're so thankful that you people are so prayerful for one another and pray for the people that we have on our prayer list. And we continue to encourage you to do that. And had a couple of things. And we don't know the situation, but I'll ask you to pray for this situation, whatever it might be. God knows, and oftentimes we don't know what's going on in a personal life, and a lot of times we don't want to know. And then there are times we'd like to know because we can pray for that specific thing. And so we got a message back this week, and as I've told you people before, the people in this community, people in this neighborhood, they know you people, and they know that your prayers are kind of powerful. Because they know that God hears your prayers, and they have seen God answer your prayers. And we've got people that doesn't come to church here and so forth, and maybe don't go to church anywhere. And Omer's brought me some, and somebody else will bring me a name. Somebody else will bring me. Somebody out there is asking this church to pray for them. That's a real a compliment for this church, I'll say, for you people. So Ron Vaughn, many of you know Ron. They used to be here quite often. Ron Vaughn called Doodle and asked that we pray for them. And we don't know the whole situation. They have taken Kelly now, is enrolled in college, and they took her there yesterday or so forth, I say or so. And whatever's going on, they need prayer. And so pray for Kelly, young lady that's just now busting out in life and so forth, going to college, pray whatever things she needs to be done. God will work good things for them. Also, I can't pronounce this name really, but it's Oswell. Osley is the last name. Avanelli, I believe. Avanelli Osley. Anybody know that name? All right. But this is a prayer request come to us. Fourth chemo treatment this week, and they're doing good, but continue to want ask this people to pray for them. And then, as I told you, Maxine's not here. Ask you to pray for her somehow or another. She has allergies sometimes, and as some of you folks deal with that. But this allergy thing with her has been very bad, and her face is messed up because of the infection and so forth, and she's just not been well the last couple of days. And so pray for us earnestly that this we'll be able to get to the doctor tomorrow, maybe. Hopefully, I'm going to drag her there, if nothing else, and see that she gets some treatment. Vi is not with us this morning. I was kind of hoping Vi, knowing that Kathleen's not going to be with us now for a while. She's gone to be with her sister with the hip operation. So pray for that. Pray for Kathleen. Pray for her sister, Karen. And then pray for Vi. She could be strengthened. I was hoping maybe she'd be able to be with us and be able to play the piano for us, but she's not able to do that. And Donna?
Papa needs prayers.
Okay.
He's having problems with his knees.
All right. Okay, we keep this guy in our prayers every day, but just keep praying good things for him. And we pray for them, for the good health. We pray for him and Norma Jean. And I have a special prayer for him and Norma Jean and Peggy and Drew because they're the elders of our church. And we want them to be well. And just pray for strength and health. Pray for whatever it is that they need in their lives. All right, let's see. And who else am I missing?
Your daughter?
Huh?
Your daughter?
Oh, yeah, Kay, my daughter, you know. You know, we sometimes forget about those things, don't we? Kay haven't got the results back and so forth, but I just believe that God's going to do some good things for her, and she'll be back going. So, yes, thank you for that. And so, whoever I'm missing, keep in mind and pray for them. And God is good, and God works great things, and we're thankful for that. As we then come to our prayer time, remember the service people and remember those people in the care homes that can't care for themselves. And I'm so thankful we have places that are able to do that and have people that are talented to do that and be praying for them that God will use them in a good way. Pray for this church. Pray for each other. God is good. God wants to bless you, and he wants you to bless others. And one way you can bless them is pray for the things that they need in their life as we come to our prayer time.
For our hymn, we'll use number 223, sing the first verse, and Doodle will have her prayer. Let's all stand. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow was like sea,
my soul, it is well.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you bless us with, to be back in thy house. As we set this special time aside, we ask that you be with those on the prayer list, that you touch their lives. We ask that you be with those mentioned this morning, be with the Bond family, that whatever the situation is there, that it will be better. Be with Maxine, she goes to the doctor tomorrow, that things will be taken care of there. We pray that you bless him. We pray that you be with Kathleen as she travels west to keep her safe. And all those that were mentioned this morning, we pray that you touch your lives and that it may be made better. We ask that you be with this congregation as we worship today. We ask that you bless each and every one because today we're in the Lord's house. Be with Benny's and Brandon's morning's message and forgive us when we fail.
Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 361.
We want to encourage some of you folks, and Michael, and Angela, and Sierra. This is an opportunity for you to bless us, and now that Kathleen won't be here, well, you can kind of bless us with a song from time to time. And we appreciate that and hope you will do that. And, you know, oftentimes I, you know, shouldn't do it, but I guess Satan tries to discourage us all often, you know. And sometimes he gets in my mind and I leave this place sometimes and afterward and I think, those people aren't listening to me, and they're not acting on what I encourage them with, and it seems like it's kind of useless. But then last week I was really encouraged, because if you remember, I saw that you were listening, and you did act upon some of the things I say. Because I told you this little story about Jimmy and the chickens. And when Maxine and I left here last Sunday and we went to the restaurant, there was a whole group of our people at Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it's encouraging. Well, this morning, we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read the first six verses or so. Paul gives a greeting to the Ephesian church, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which were at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Catch that phrase there, if you will. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are in this series for you folks that are visiting, where you folks that haven't been here for a while. We're in a series right now, and of In Christ. And we said, in Christ I am. And so we have had, in Christ I am a child of God, in Christ I am the salt of the earth, in Christ I am the light of the world, in Christ I am a changed person, have been the last message we have. This morning, though, out of this passage, and I picked this up, and you see, Paul is not only speaking to the church at Ephesus, he's speaking to those in Christ, the faithful in Christ. He's speaking to you and to me. And telling us, you know, and encouraging us. And so this morning, the message, and you was probably in your bulletin there, I didn't look at that, but I'm sure that Donna put it in there, that taken from this sixth verse here, that in Christ I am accepted. And I want to encourage you, say that with me now. In Christ, I am accepted. You know, here that's a question really that every Christian ought to settle very early in life. Does God really accept me? That really has a great impact upon your life. And there's people that doesn't understand or doesn't know or doesn't believe that God accepts them. Listen, folks, it's very crucial. I've said before as we started, it is very crucial for a Christian to know who they are in Christ. And that's why we come up with that in Christ thing. And it's just as crucial for a Christian to know that they have been accepted by Christ. Acceptance. Young college fella, by the name of Bill. He wears blue jeans, old t-shirt with holes in it, bushed up hair, wild hair, no shoes. That's been his thing all through the 4 years of college. And Bill had thought about becoming a Christian. Across the street from the college campus was a church. And Bill thought he would go to church that Sunday. And so he walks in the church and there he is, his blue jeans, his shirt with the holes in it, his wild hair and barefooted. He starts down the aisle to find a seat. And the people are kind of uneasy about it. But they don't say anything. He makes his way down toward the pulpit. And the closer he gets to the pulpit, the more he recognizes the church is completely packed. There's no seats. So he just sits down on a carpet. Now, the people at church, they're a little bit perplexed here now and wondering. And all at once, back at the back of the church, a deacon stands up. He's a fine old gentleman, and he's gray-headed and silver gray-headed. Has on a three-piece suit with a watch, pocket watch. And he begins to make his way down the aisle toward the Bill. And the people look at him and they wonder now what's going to happen. And then they say to themselves, well, we can kind of understand a gentleman like that and he in his day and so forth. And what he's going to do, we could kind of understand because he doesn't understand college boy that would sit on the carpet. He's old and he's walking with a cane and slowly makes his way down to where Bill is. And the congregation looks at him and the preacher, he can't start preaching his sermon until the deacon does what he needs to do. And as the congregation watches the old gentleman, he has quite a tough time squatting down and sitting down beside Bill. Now, friends, that's acceptance. That's acceptance. And you see what God has done in and through Christ Jesus. God has come and sat down beside us so that we won't be alone. So we won't be alone. This morning, I want to assure you that God accepts you. If you are a Christian, if you are a born-again, baptized believer in Jesus Christ, without an exception, God has accepted you. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer is accepted by the Father in Christ. To be accepted is a great feeling, isn't it? To be rejected is a real killjoy, isn't it? You know, how many of you, when you were going to school and you stood in line as the captain of the team, chose people to be on his team, on their teams, and you wanted to be chosen, and you'd like to be chosen first, but then it appears like you might be rejected and not get chosen at all? How many of you raised your hand for a part in the Christmas play only to be rejected? How many of you have gone out into the workaday life and applied for a job only to be rejected? Only to be rejected. We live in a world where it seems like there's more rejection than there is exception. When a person is rejected in their youth, that usually permeates their life, their whole life. A rejected person often lives a reduced quality of life. Too often I read not only of young people, but older people alike. When they're rejected, they usually turn to something else to help them to feel wanted or important in some way. Young or old, rich or poor, saved or unsaved, who is not sure of being accepted usually lives a life of devastation. The Bible, we see, I think it's fair to say that Cain rejected Abel. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. Jacob was rejected by his father. The prodigal son was rejected by his elderly brother. Samuel told King Saul that he had rejected God's word and God had rejected him. After God delivered the Israelites from the captivity or the slavery of Egypt, and they were out in the desert on their way to the promised land, and God was supplying their needs, it says that the Israelites rejected God. Isaiah writes about Jesus, and he says of Jesus, he said he was despised and rejected of men. Isaiah 53:3. I would venture to say, if you were to go down to the street people, if you were to go down to the homeless shelters, if you were to go to the rehab centers, and if you were asked those people why they were there, I would venture to say that many of them would say they was there because they had been rejected. Rejected by their friends. Rejected by their family. Rejected by society. Oh, but it was a great feeling, wasn't it, when you stood in line and the captain was choosing a team and he chose you. He saw that you were important, that you were important to be on his team. It gives you a good feeling, doesn't it? Give you a good feeling. Many of you, during your senior year and you applied for college and you wanted to go to that particular college, and you applied and you waited day after day, you'd go to the mailbox and you just rush out there hoping that letter would be there, that letter of acceptance would be there. day after day you'd go and hoping it would be there. And then one day you go to the mailbox and there it is, letter from the college, and you quickly open it up with excitement, and you open up and it says accepted. Really gave you a good feeling, didn't it? You went for that job interview, and after you went through the interview and so forth, they said, we're going to accept you as our employee. Made you feel good, doesn't it? You know, acceptance is great feeling, great joy. Rejection is a killjoy, is a killjoy. Now let me get back to the scripture here that we read. And let me give you some thoughts here that assures you that your Heavenly Father has accepted you. And when you get that down in your spirit, that will change your life. That will change your life. For you to know that you have been accepted by the Heavenly Father, if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you have believed in Jesus and relied upon the cross for your salvation, that is, you have put your faith in what Christ has done on the cross for you, you can be very, very assured that God accepts you, that God accepts you. Faith, if you remember last week what we said F-A-I-T, faith was, fully assurance in thy heart. If you are fully assured in your heart that God has accepted you, life takes on different meaning. Life takes on different meaning. Listen to Ephesians 1 and 5 and 6 here. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, God's will, to the praise of the glory of the grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ Jesus. He is made. What is that saying there? It says God has made us acceptable to him. He has made us acceptable to him on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross there at Calvary. Now you can't live. We can't live lives good enough to be acceptable by God. We can't be smart enough to be acceptable by God. We can't be rich enough to be accepted by God. You see, there's nothing we can do, nothing that we have done or nothing that we can do that causes God to accept us. God accepts us out of what he has done. And he has done that. It all hinges on what God has done. And it was done through the love of God for you and for me. Isn't that what John 3:16 is all about? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did that. God gave his Son. We didn't go get him. He gave. He did it. If God hadn't did what he did with Jesus on the cross, you and I could not become children of God. We would not have changed lives. We would not be the light of the world. We would not be the salt of the earth. We would not be accepted of God. But because of what Jesus has done, what God has done through Jesus on the cross, you and I, as believers in Christ, are accepted. It all hinges on what God has done. Every believer is accepted by the Father in Christ. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the peace is not from us to Him. What does that say? We have peace with God. He has peace with, He made peace with us. We were at odds with God. We were radical. We were away from God. We had rejected God. And God did this wonderful thing by giving His Son on Calvary for our sins, has made peace with us. And for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he or she is accepted, and they have peace with God. Peace with God. Colossians 1:20 says this, having made peace, this is God speaking, and says it, having made peace through Jesus Christ, or it really says, having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, God brought unto Himself. I say, whether they be things of earth or whether they be in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, see, alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled, brought you back into relationship that He accepts, all because of what Christ did on Calvary. You see, when our faith becomes a fixed attitude toward the cross and what Jesus has done, the rest is a beautiful, wonderful story. The blessing, the blessed God never alters. And He never diverges from acceptance in which He has received us because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a sad thought. Here's a person who accept Jesus as their Savior, repents of their sins, confess Christ as Lord, baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the remission of sins, gift of eternal life. They go out in their daily life, and they sin. And they feel like now that God doesn't accept them because they have sinned. You see, that's just a lie of Satan. That's a lie of Satan straight out of the pits of hell. Listen to this. John, 1 John 4:10. Herein, he says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for us, for our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He being God is faithful and just to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, through Jesus Christ, has accepted us and will not turn us away. Oh yeah, you might sin, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't accept you. Doesn't mean that God hasn't accepted you, because God has accepted you and He's made ways for you to continue to be accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins. Listen, God is never going to throw you away. No, God's never going to turn away from you. You may turn away from God. You may reject God, but God will never reject you. He's accepted you. Don't ever reject Him. There's so much that we could say according to the assurance of God. God has assured us in a powerful way, in a wonderful way, that He has accepted us. Who would lay down His life? Who would lay down His life only at the request of His Father for people like you and me? But He did. God accepts us, and there's more in the Scripture to be said about that, but I want to finish with this little story. And if you'll listen to this, and I hope that will help you to see how God has accepted us. Because it says here that God, in verse 6, isn't it? The praise, the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That Beloved is His Son, Jesus. This little story. There was this beautiful little girl. She lived in a far country. Her family was poor. It didn't look like she had much going for her for the future. And one day she decided that she would go to another country and she would be a servant in a wealthy man's house. He was rich, and his house was like a palace to her. He treated her real good, and she worked real hard to please him. And this wealthy man had a son he really loved. He was his beloved son. And time passed, and the beloved son fell in love with the servant girl, and she loved him. Time passed, and the beloved son asked her to be his wife. And the son's father was so happy that his beloved son had found the love of his life. It wasn't long while they were married. After the marriage ceremony, the next morning when the light began to shine, it was all different. All different. You see, the poor, beautiful servant girl is no longer a servant girl. She's been accepted into the wealthy man's family. Why was she accepted? She was accepted because of the beloved son. She was accepted because of the son. I would hope that would help us to see. This illustrates what God has done for you and me. And I say I, and not boastfully, because you can say I along when I say I, if this applies to you. When I believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God put me in Christ. God put me in Christ. I didn't do that. God did that. You can say I along with me. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior, God put me in Christ. Now I am loved by God, and I'll always be accepted with God. I may go astray, but it won't change the exception. If I'll come back to Him, He's quick and ready to accept me. You remember the prodigal son's father, a very good illustration to that. God has made me accepted by His beloved Son. How do I get in Christ? God put me there. God put me there. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him," speaking of God, "but of Him are you in Christ." God did that. not me. Galatians 3:27 says this, "For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You now are clothed in Christ. You are in Christ. You are the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness has been imputed on you. And God has accepted you. Folks, remember this. If some people do not accept me, being loved and accepted by God is much more important. But I say this to you, if you, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross for mankind, if you put your faith in him, you won't be concerned about what other people think about you. Matter of fact, people will start to think good of you. But regardless of what other people might think about me, and other people may not accept me, and I have been rejected in many things for many reasons, but I have never been rejected by God since I've come to know he accepted me. And he did it on the basis of what Jesus did at Calvary. At Calvary. So friends, it doesn't make any difference whether you're accepted or rejected. What really means, has God accepted you? That's the question, isn't it? That's the thing that you want to settle in your heart and mind. Until you settle that in your heart and mind, you'll never live the life that God really wants you to live. So, you know, everything that we could ever want is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing more. You know, everything that we need and everything we want is in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus alone. Salvation and everything that we need is found in Christ Jesus and comes from the Father through his love for mankind. I asked you this morning, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not felt the acceptance of God, the opportunity is given to you this morning, because God is ready to accept you when you come to him through Jesus Christ, the beloved Son. We'll stand and sing the first verse only. If you need to make a decision, come.
If you're here, my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
You who have received and believed in Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you, he's not going to pass you by. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and I hope that the message has been encouraging to you. That's one of the things I think that I dealt with quite often in my early Christian life. Does God really accept me for who I am? He really does. He really does. That makes life worth living, doesn't it? God is so good. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord, I pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time when we can come together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises. We thank you for the assurance that comes from our word. And Heavenly Father, may no one here ever go not believing that you accept them. You've made it possible. You're the one that does it, all because you love us. Father God, help us always to keep in front of us. We're accepted by the greatest of all, the one who has everything, the one who knows all things, the one who can help with everything that pertaining to our life. So, Heavenly Father, we rejoice in it. Bless our people as they leave this place this morning, Heavenly Father. Help them go their way rejoicing. Might just the brightness of Christ shine forth from them to other people, that they might want to come and know Jesus as Savior too, that they want to be accepted by God the Father, that they want to settle in their mind first and foremost, that we're accepted by the one who is important to our lives. And thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day, great week.